Welcome to the Coffee with Karen podcast, a weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.
Awesome, and we are live. So, welcome to the show. Each week I interview a variety of coaches, consultants, therapists and healers from the conventional to the more woo-woo. And it's not just a sprinkling anymore. And your host, my name's Karen Roberts. We provide a platform. We help coaches and consultants design, create, market and sell their own online programs. And as the owners of Meet Wave Radio Station and Raising Vibrations Podcast Network, we provide a platform for them to get their message heard. Now, today's show is all about finding health again through basic blood work. Now, this is an absolutely fascinating story. So, Lauren, could you start by sharing a little bit about who you are and, yeah, your story is a big one.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to chat with you today. Yes, my journey has been an interesting one. But like many in this space, we all got here from a personal journey. And so it's kind of paying it forward with what I've gone through. But yeah, basically my symptoms started when I was a teenager. I started getting really, really tired and I started going to the doctor and my mom was taking me to the doctor and we weren't getting any answers. And they'd look at me and they'd outwardly see a healthy teenage girl or what looked like it. And they'd send me on my merry way. They'd take my blood work. They'd listen to my heartbeat and they'd be like, oh, you're normal. You're healthy. Go live your life. You're fine. And as the years progressed, left my teens and I'm in my 20s and I continually started to get sicker and sicker. I had digestive issues, hair loss, insurmountable brain fog. I couldn't remember words. I would just be in the middle of a sentence and I couldn't remember any words. And joint pain. I mean, you name it, the symptoms, I had it. And I tried every doctor. I tried every naturopath, acupuncturist, you name it. I've probably seen them. So I was like, all right, I'm taking my health and my power back into my own hands. And I started going to online school and I became a traditional naturopath and I learned how to read blood work a different way. And I started figuring out some of the answers to many of my ailments.
So you became, well, you were the answer to the problems that you were having. I mean, it's pretty amazing, but do you think that is because, again, we are always looking just at symptoms, and if you were having all a different combination of symptoms, like loads of different things, it's like, well, where did they stem from? And rather than I'm not dissing Western medicine, but just saying that the problem is putting a plaster on that thing, that symptom, and not looking at the root cause. So do you think that was part of the problem, why you could never get an answer?
100%. And even with the clients that I work with now, I go, look, there's all these symptoms. We all have all these symptoms, but what are we doing to optimize our health? And symptoms are created in a different way. And what, you know, my joint pain, how it might, you know, show it with joint pain for me might show with acne and eczema for you. So we have to look at how to optimize your health and really take it back to the baseline and go, okay, what are we missing? And for me, my environment was a huge factor in what I was looking at. So I started realizing, okay, I have these blood markers off. And then every time I go visit my mom who lives in a different part of the country, I feel better. And I'm like, okay, besides the fact that, you know, you get your mom's home cooking, why do I feel better when I'm in this area than when I'm at my house? And then I started realizing, okay, when I go to this person's house, I feel so. Come to find out, for me, I was living in toxic mold. I lived in a very rainy part of the state, and I just couldn't find healthy house for me because it was every place that I lived in this area was moldy. So I ended up.
Was that something you could see, or was it hidden?
It was hidden. And unfortunately, that's what's so hard, because a lot of clients that I work with also have mold illness, and 99% of the time you don't see it. And we're taught, you know, you see it in your shower, and we're taught you spray some bleach on it and you're good. That's just normal. And for 25% of the population, we don't have the gene to detox mold properly. So we're just getting sicker with these mysterious symptoms. So you could treat all the symptoms, but if you're in the environment, it's not, you're not going to heal.
It's unbelievable that something that actually seems so simple, right?
Yes.
And I suppose maybe quite often that is the case. We overcomplicate things looking for different reasons as to what the problem is. And I mean, do you think people are really aware of the actual damage that mold can do?
No, not at all. I mean, even just living it and being in this space, I feel like we're just now scratching the surface of what mold can do to our bodies. But seeing how it impacted my brain health at such a young age, it makes me think, what does it lead to down the road if you've been exposed to mold, you know, for many years? And at this point, we just don't have the data to say X causes Z, but there's no way that if it can affect me so greatly and affect many of the people that I work with so greatly, that it's not affecting diagnoses if you're older, that we don't have an answer as to why.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I suppose the really scary thing there is the fact that it wasn't necessarily visible, because how do you find out if it's not visible? I mean, it's that, I know we all know that when we're in a sunnier climate, that can do wonders for the health. I have it. In fact, I'm just looking up in the corners there. We've had so much rain. I have to keep an eye out on the mold on the walls. And we lived in Portugal. So again, I thought I was going to a sunny climate. And obviously it was down in the Algarve. But mold is a very big thing down there, because in the winters it was very, very wet. And it's not like there was damp coming up from the ground. It was just in the air. So it would come on the walls, because the houses were not built. They just weren't built for winter. They had the air con. But they didn't have central heating to sort of dry the air out. It was very wet and damp. And actually, when I think back, my asthma was a lot worse when I was living in Portugal. And I thought that moving from London and air pollution, moving to the sunny Algarve would be better for my health. But actually, and I think that must have been part of the issue, was the dampness, and that you could, at least it was visible because it's all very plain, but you would really have to, you know, very often, you know, clean it off. That's what they do. But that's quite phenomenal that something that is quite, you know, common.
Yeah.
Depending on where you live, I suppose. That it can cause such damage to you. But can you share a little bit more? Because I don't think you've really how much. I mean, you know, how many years did you really spend bedridden?
Yes. So I spent about 16 years housebound and bedbound in my journey. And it's crazy because there's so 16 years. I mean, just comprehend that. I know it's easy to gloss over, but 16 years as a teenager and in your 20s, when you're, you know, growing and forming as a human, I was just hanging out in my bed. So the research skills that I gained from that time, though, are pretty high level.
Oh, man, but you have a very positive outlook. I mean, I love that, what you just said. For most people, they would have been, you know, wallowing in self-pity. You've turned it into, well, number one, most importantly, you've cured yourself.
Yeah.
Because you've gone to your research. But oh my goodness, how did you keep such a positive mindset to even do that?
You know, I think that, and it's something that I work with my clients on so much, is half of, I believe, illness is emotional. And whether it's trapped trauma, you know, we all know that feeling of if we hear a song that has brought us joy at one time and we feel our bodies happy. Well, we also know that when we go through a trauma, there's little things that can ignite that feeling internally. And it's a battle. Every day is a battle. And we get a choice of what we're going to choose. And we have to decide every day when we wake up that we're going to be grateful. And I know I hate that word gratitude, because there was many days where I felt so ill that I couldn't feel gratitude, but I knew in my heart and in my soul that I would be okay and I would figure this out. And if anyone's listening to this and they're in the depths of their struggle, whether it's been a month, a day, years, there's times where you can feel really hopeless and like there's no way out, there's no light at the end of the tunnel, but we get a choice of how we're going to look at it. And if we can just get a glimmer of hope, whether it's listening to this story or finding a meditation that brings you joy, choosing that light instead of the darkness, because if we let the darkness win, it's only going to make it worse. And I know that it's so hard, because when you're in it, you're just like, yeah, I hear it. I hear you. But like, but how? And you just have to figure out how to find that spark of joy every day that's going to keep you going. You know, turn on the music, pray, meditate, whatever it is that brings your soul a little light, just to get you through until you start finding the answers.
It's going to take the same energy, isn't it? You know, if you're that tired because you're ill, it's not going to take any more energy to work on actually closing things down and finding joy and connecting with that heart. So it's probably actually easier than if you're stressing and woe is me. Actually, that takes more energy, doesn't it?
It does.
And it's funny that we've been almost conditioned to be like that. And I get it. Touch wood, I've never been in that position. Oh, God, 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 God. but I can imagine, I mean, you know, if I get ill, I'm ill for a couple of days. For 16 years bedridden. It really, I don't think, you know, it sounds, no, think about it. 16 years, that's a massive part of your life. And that's a shame. It's like, it could have been solved. It was all solvable. But then also, do you believe that actually most things are solvable if we find the root cause of the problem?
Yes. Yeah. You know, during that time, my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer. And it's funny because you realize that no matter what the illness is, how you go about it and how you approach it is all really similar. It's all, okay, what am I going to feed my soul with nutrition-wise? What am I going to feed my soul with emotionally and spiritually? Can I go through my blood work and figure out where I need to optimize? It doesn't matter how the illness presents itself. It's all the same to get us healthy. It's all, you know, taking it back to the basics. And believe me, I tried some extreme things when I was sick, extreme, and none of it worked. The basics is what got me healthy. And it seems so obvious. It's like, well, of course, you know, learn to reduce stress. Of course, eat healthy, you know, blah, blah, blah. But like, some of the obvious things are not so obvious to our society anymore.
Well, I mean, that whole subject of what is healthy, I mean, you ask person A, they'll give you one answer. You ask person B, they'll give you a completely different answer. You look on the internet, you'll just get 100 different answers. And that be the problem.
Yes, exactly.
Being healthy. And depending on who you speak to or what research you read or what doctor you go to, you don't know. And do you think that's part of the problem? Everyone is sort of overwhelmed with, do we go vegan? Do we go carnivore? Do we do this? Do we do that? Should we fast? Should we do this? There's so much out there, isn't there?
Yeah, which only adds stress to our nervous system. It just keeps us in that fight or flight loop of, do I choose X or do I choose B? And, you know, you go to a doctor and you get this hope that, okay, I'm going to feel better. And then, you know, a month or two down the line, you're like, I actually feel worse. And I just spent a lot of money on supplements and appointments. And like, why do I, you know, and it's just like the psych, at least for me, when I was in it, this wheelhouse. But really, you know, it comes back to not doing the extremes, you know, finding just real food, you know. It doesn't have to be a carnivore or a vegan, just and we get to know ourselves so well too during an illness journey. You can kind of play with what feels better to you and what doesn't. But really at the end of the day, it's taking it back to whole real foods, you know, reducing stress. And we want to complicate it because we have access to so much information, but it doesn't have to be.
So much different types of food. And it is all, it's so overprocessed. I mean, it actually can be hard to find proper food. You know, you can be driving, going on a journey and you stop off. Well, I don't know what it's like over where you are, but certainly here in the UK, you go on a journey, you stop off at the petrol station and what is on offer? I mean, just junk. Something that actually resembles plastic more than actual food. I mean, is that really edible? But it all comes out of plastic. It all comes out of a packet. It's all been manufactured and actually chemically far from food.
Yes, exactly.
It's scary the way things are going. But I mean, that and what you just said there about, and this is, I think, is key, actually, what you said there about, you know, really listening to yourself, keeping it basic. And your body actually knows what it needs, but we don't listen.
No, and we listen to the man or woman in the white coat that tells us what's right for us, but when reality, we know. And if we can just get quiet and listen to our intuition, so many times throughout my journey, and even my mom's journey, before I started this business, I'd ask her, what feels right to you? What, you know, she'd be like, do you think I should take this supplement? I'm like, does it feel right? And she's like, no, it doesn't. I'm like, all right, then we're not going to do it. Same with me. I had a doctor put me on a 1 month long water fast and I was 21 days in and I was not feeling any better. And they wanted me to go another week. And I'm like, that doesn't feel right. I think we've maxed this fast out.
Yeah.
It's a long time. So you just have to get quiet and listen to your own intuition and it will guide you. But it's hard when you're being inundated with so much information that you're like, you know, but I read this about this and I read this about that.
Yeah. We've been conditioned to trust a whole power. And that's what I find so fascinating about your story. You found somehow, some way to trust your instinct when we have been, maybe that's why. Maybe it's because you weren't actually in the school and listening to the, you are,
yes.
Maybe that's why, you know, that's an interesting thought there because so many people don't trust that inner voice. Because they are listening, they have given their power away. And I find it fascinating that you chose to take your power back. And I love that. And that is the key, I think. People, we've had that sort of not to trust that intuition. And like you said, yeah, your body knows, you know, nobody knows your body like you. Your body knows. You can tell if after you've eaten you're feeling bloated, you're feeling really tired, or after you've eaten actually you've got more energy. Only you know that. Nobody else can tell you that. But somehow, somewhere along the way, that's been sort of beaten out of us to not trust that. And this is a way to do it. And again, the one size fits all, and there isn't a one size fits all, is there?
No, there's not. And, you know, when I was in the depths of my journey and I started realizing, okay, I feel a little bit better when I'm not at my house. And luckily I had a yard, and I'm sure the neighbors thought I was crazy, but I'm like, okay, I've got to start trialing this. So I started sleeping in a tent in my backyard to see if when I'd wake up, if I wasn't in the house, would I feel better? And so sure enough, so sometimes you have to kind of become your own scientist and go, okay, this is nuts, but I got to give this a try. Depending on what symptom, you know, depending on everyone's personal journey, mine is extreme, but yeah, sometimes you got to break free of the norm of what society and everybody might think and just go, okay, I'm just going to give this a try. It doesn't hurt to try.
Absolutely. If it's not something that's, you know, really, really, really dangerous, but
yes,
sleeping in your tent, you know, unless you've got wild animals out there that are going to kill you at night, I think you're okay.
Yeah.
Mind you, I suppose it depends what season it is as well.
That's true. Know.
But again, it depends where you are on your journey. If you've got to the stage where, you know, you've got to find out, and you took it upon yourself to do that. Honestly, I don't think many would do that, even in your position. I find that really quite amazing that you've taken it in your own hands and gone, right, no, I'm not having this. So what is it?
Yeah.
And I wish more people would, because it amazes me. You think we have one life that we know of. Yeah. We have, you know, we only have this life now, whatever you believe.
Yeah.
One body. At the moment, we can't exchange it for a new one.
Yeah, give it a couple of years.
Yeah. Who knows? But to even want to, if you were that ill, I find it hard that other people don't want to explore themselves and research themselves like you have, to try to understand this vessel that we're currently in, how it works, why we're having this, rather than this must be sort of, you know, it's almost like mass hypnotism, yeah, to just totally give your power away to, okay, you just go to the doctors if you're feeling ill and that's it. And if they can't help you, then that's it. There's no hope.
Yeah.
Because some people do. They'll just give up.
Yeah.
When, you know, I'm sure there's certain things, but on the majority of things, I would have thought there's always going to be a solution. It's just finding out the what.
Yes. Yeah. And that's exactly why I knew I had to get into this line of work, because not everyone's going to go as extreme as I did or have to. I mean, 99% of us won't have to go that extreme, but there's no way that I could have gone through the journey that I've gone through and not be able to work with people that are going through their own journey to help figure it out for them. You know, that's why I hope that nobody has to go through the many years of what I had to. And that's why I'm literally here, is because it doesn't have to be that way. We have more information every day, good or bad, but you know, between looking at environment, looking at blood work, looking at our emotional health, you know, we can nip this in the butt a lot quicker than we could 20 years ago, because we have the information and we have, you know, people like myself and many of the people others that you interview that have gone through these journeys, so that others don't have to, that we can put a stop to whatever is going on with their symptoms quicker and sooner and find the solutions for them, because for whatever reason, this was supposed to be my journey. But I'm going to do everything I can to make sure it's not someone else's.
Well, you're going to give them the shortcut. And what you mentioned there about it, you know, again, we are so conditioned to looking for the one answer.
Yeah.
And like you said, there's so many, we are complex beings. We're not simple beings. We're complex beings. And like you said, stress, Massive. And I really don't think people, because it's an intangible, isn't it?
Very
stressed people, maybe you can see it, but quite often, you know, having that consistent amount of stress that maybe people can't see is actually doing a lot of damage, because we're not designed to hold on to cortisol for that long, that amount of time. But it's not just that, is it? It's clean water. It's the nutrition. Are you getting the right nutrition? Are you trying to eliminate all the toxins? There's so much that why any of us would think that going and getting a pill is going to be the answer to all our problems, because that doesn't make sense even in itself. So for you personally, what were the key factors?
Yes. So I love that you talked about the stress aspect, because when we look at stress, we think, oh, okay, go and meditate. But what about when there's an internal stress that's going on, like a low-grade infection that could be showing up in our blood work that is also stressing us? So we not only have an internal stressor going on, but then we have external stressors of this world. So for me, the internal stressor was I had a bacterial and fungal infection going on inside my body because I was exposed to this environment. I could go through my blood work and see, even though my doctors told me my lab results were normal, you know, the ranges of my lab work these days is astronomical. You know, the lab range is based on a sick population, not on a healthy population. So when you look at it, I mean, you'd have to be knocking at death's door for it to be flagged. and I basically was, and I still wasn't getting flagged of everything was still normal. So for me, I had a underlying low grade infection that was just causing this little tick in my nervous system to be stressed out. You know, my internal body's stressed out. I'm in a bad environment. Although I was eating good food, everything else around me was, you know, haywire. And so I couldn't control it with food. I had to go in and look at my blood work and identify the issue, get on some supplements that were targeted to the specific infection that I was dealing with, get in an environment that was clean. And from there, you know, working on the emotional side of having to be sick for so long, and that will be, you know, a forever journey, just like we all are all working on our mental health. So for me, it was a low grade infection. And for many of my clients, when I look through their blood work, there's this low grade infection that, you know, it's not sending them to the hospital. It's not like they have a fever, but there's markers in our blood work that will show us, okay, there's a low grade bacteria infection. Oh, there's a parasite that we might have to look at. Different little clues that will tell us.
You mentioned parasites. I mean, so from your professional opinion, how common do you think that is an issue?
So it's funny. So my mentor says, if you have a pulse, you have a parasite. Meaning, and I'm like, well, we all have pulses. But from what I've looked at and the research that I've done, I would say 50% of the clients that I've worked with, their blood markers show parasites.
Yeah. And why do you think this is not spoken about?
The million-dollar question. I mean,
because I do. I honestly think that is one of them, if not the issue with most people. And most people, you know, people have dogs and cats. Mm-hmm. And if you think you're going to pick things up from them and that you need to cleanse, every once in a while.
Yeah.
And like you say, I mean, I'm sure there's probably millions of things living inside me, in all of us, and which half of them are probably absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Some are probably not. And I suppose it's when the imbalance, but then also, you know, things like candida, some people suffer so much with candida, and it's like, it's just, well, again, I suppose that's possibly linked to, again, what we're eating. I love sugar. But again, all these things, how simple would it be to do a parasite cleanse?
It's so simple. I mean, it's a 30 to 60 day process, and it's, or maybe even shorter depending on, you know, what you're dealing with. But it's funny, if you talk to your grandparents or, you know, anyone that's older than 80 and you ask them if they parasite cleansed when they were little, you know, growing up, odds are that they would say, yes. It's amazing that, you know, the further we've gotten away from the farming world and everything, we lost doing that. And, you know, we put our animals on cleanses every once or twice a year, and our grandparents used to do it. We should be doing this.
I just find it absolutely fascinating. But again, it's because it's a subject, it's like, oh, I don't want to talk about that. That doesn't happen. That wouldn't be me. But it is, it's nothing bad. It's nature. It's just, that's the way it is. So if you want to stay healthy, yeah, we want our friendly ones, don't we? We want the friendly bacteria. We're happy for them to stay rent-free.
Yes.
But the others, no, sorry, you're not paying any rent. You need to go.
It's amazing. And it's so crazy how quickly people can notice the results from it. I mean, they'll come in, they have a list of symptoms a mile long, and they go on a parasite cleanse, and 3 months they call me and they're like, I can't even believe that I feel this good. I have not ever felt this good. I know.
What would be some of the symptoms? If somebody's out there and thinking, what symptoms should they look for?
Yes. So if you have food sensitivities, like dairy sensitivities, bloating, joint pain can be a symptom, brain fog, fatigue. I mean, the symptoms are really long and can be really range from person to person. Also, if you look at your blood work, if your eosinophil percentage, and this would be in like your basic blood work, if you look at your CBC, you pull it out, your eosinophil percentage, if that's above 3%, then there'd likely be a parasite. Usually that's what I look at when I work with my clients. Or if your basophil percentage is above 1%, I'm also thinking parasites. So those are just two markers, if you're listening to this and you have your blood work handy, to go in and compare.
Right. And so there you go. It's in the blood. So why not read the blood? So that is that what sets you apart from other practitioners? Is that you do blood work? Read the blood work?
Yes. So I do... I specialize in blood work because I just think that there's so many symptoms that can, and so many things that our blood work tells us that we all have access to, and we all go do, because we go to our doctor, we say we don't feel good, they take our blood, and then they tell us we're normal. We have a set of paperwork that is normal. So I'm like, okay, give me this normal blood work and let's go through this together. And it's amazing what it can show us. Just the basic blood work that you go to your doctor and everybody has. So that is my specialty. I also specialize from the other side, and I do mind, body, spirit release. So if my belief is, if we can work on the physical side with blood work and then also look at the emotional side and release negative or trapped emotions, then that's where we create optimal health.
I think you've got it all there in one package. That's it. It's, and this is the thing, we've all been going for the physical, right? We want to get the test results and it's the physical diagnosis. What about the mental and the spiritual? And we're a whole person, and we do want all this stuff in balance. And like you said earlier, stress is just such a massive thing because it's going to shut everything else down.
Yeah.
And then the spiritual aspect, actually, that's going to heal you anyway. So,
exactly.
So you're focusing on all three. I love that. That really is a complete holistic approach. And it's not just because there's so much, or I feel, maybe that's just my perception, I feel that there's so much bad press or people's perceptions of a holistic approach. So it's all airy-fairy, it's all woo-woo. But what you're doing is bringing both sides in. So they can't say anything because you've got the science of that's your blood work and that's the results, that's it. And then combining it, you know, again, mm-hmm. it's What is it? Well, they say sell them what they want and give them what they need.
Exactly.
You know, they also help with the mental and the spiritual, but you're giving them a lot of blood work. So I love that. That really is setting you apart from any going to a doctor and get your blood work read, because it sounds like you're going to give them a different reason.
I sure am. They'll go through and they're like, wow, like, you know, before I met with you, I'd feel like kind of a whack-a-mole where I'd have this symptom, and whether it was, you know, my doctor or my naturopath, and no shame to these doctors, we're all doing the best we can with what we know. But they would feel like they're kind of just getting whack-a-moled with these, here, take this for this. And it's like, yeah, that might kind of buy us some time, but it doesn't get to the root cause to get you out of the system and not to where you don't need me anymore.
And that's it. You've hit the nail on the head there, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know, all these things are just putting plasters on to just, yeah. It's like, you know, a red light appears somewhere on the car or on some, you know, electrical, you know, and I think that it shouldn't be red and you just cut it out.
Yeah. Exactly.
The problem, is it? It's not going to, I might have tried something similar or bang, oh, that'll work. But it doesn't tend to work. That's just putting a plaster on it.
Yeah.
You know that you've got to solve the root cause. I mean, it just makes sense, doesn't it? So
yeah.
When someone comes to you, what's the sort of common thing that they're looking for with their healing?
A lot of people, by the time they find me, they've tried a lot of different doctors and healers, and they just are still not making the steps that they want to take in their healing path. So a lot of times it's a lot of autoimmune people that have been told there's nothing you can do, you know, just take this pill. Or on the opposite end, where they've gone and, you know, the supplement industry is also a $1 billion industry. And so they go and they have loads and spent thousands and thousands of dollars on supplements, and they're just like, I have no hope. I've been taking this, I feel worse, you know, I've tried this diet, I like, help, give me some answers. So the people that find me are usually the ones that are just kind of hitting their head against the wall of not knowing which direction to go. And so
come to you first.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm like, I wish you would have found me, but you know, that's unfortunately.
In our conditioning.
Yeah.
You go to the people that know.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, by the time they find me, we know that there's nothing seriously wrong with them. Usually, even though our symptoms are very serious, but at least, you know, we've been able to cross something off the list. You know, there's nothing huge that needs to be taken care of immediately. It's just these underlying annoying symptoms that won't go away, that everyone just says, oh, you know, reduce your stress, oh, take this, try that, change your diet, whatever. And it's like, how can I get on a path to where from a year from now I'm not calling more doctors and trying more healers and, you know, whatever it might be? Where is my solutions? And I really try and provide that for my clients. And luckily they're all moving in the right direction. You know, healing's never
good.
Linear.
Must be so rewarding for you.
It is.
To see your clients transform for when they're, like you said, they've come to you through almost desperation because they've tried all these things. Spent loads of money on this, that, and the other, and it's not worked. And they come to you, and you turn it around.
Yes.
And is it complicated stuff, or is it quite simple answers?
A lot of times, it's pretty simple. A lot of, you know, once we can look at the blood work and figure out what's going on there, and then do some emotional release appointments and, you know, practices that will start working on the emotional side. I always say 6 months, but about 3 to 4 months, people are feeling pretty good. It's pretty incredible. And, you know, healing, I wish it was faster. I wish it was, you know, okay, it's going to be like perfectly straight. There's going to be days where you go back down and stuff, and but for the most part, we're going in the right direction.
I mean, it's again, you know, this is the problem with our society these days. We want, you know, and myself included.
Yeah, me too.
You know, we want instant gratification. We want it now. We want it yesterday, actually. We don't want to wait for anything, do we? We've become so accustomed to having it now, now, now. But when we're talking about the body, nothing happens overnight. You can't go and lose weight with your first workout. You can't, like, you know, it takes, because there's so many things going on in the body. I mean, how often is it 3 months that your blood renews? How often does, you know, it's, so if you're thing, you've got to go through the full cycle to clean it. So it makes sense that none of it is going to take. It's not going to happen overnight. It's never going to. And I truly don't. I know we're looking for that magic pill, but I truly don't believe that is possible.
No.
Because the body is so complex. I mean, there's so many different things going on. There's so many different processes going on every single second. Thank goodness we're not in charge of that, right?
I know. It's so true.
Forget.
Yes, exactly. It's so
too
true.
Much stuff going on. I'm so grateful there's a higher power involved there. So for you and
yeah, me too.
No, just don't leave it to me because I'll forget. So you mentioned a couple of markers there earlier with things with the blood work. If they're raised, then that would possibly indicate you would instantly think parasite. Are there any other things that people in general should sort of look out for that maybe they don't know about?
Yes. So the white blood cell count, WBC, if you're listening to this, it's under your CBC with differentials. The range in the 50s was 5 to 8. Now, if you pull up your blood work and you're looking at the lab ranges, it's probably 3 to 11. So if you're outside of the range of 5 to 8, so if you're looking at it and you're like, oh, I'm 3.8 or I'm 9.5, you likely have a low-grade infection somewhere. It's not always definitive. We have to dig deeper into it, but that's an easy marker to just kind of look at and go, WBC, I'm outside of the range of 5 to 8. Okay, there's something I got to look deeper at. And so then we go into the differential part of the CBC. And I went over, there's 5 markers in the differential part of the CBC. And I know that I'm speaking a foreign language right now, but on my website, I have a free blood work guide that you can compare your notes to mine. But so if you go into the CBC with differentials and you look at your neutrophil percent, if that's above 60%, 60, you likely have a bacterial or fungal infection. That was the marker that was really high for me when I was living in mold, is that neutrophil.
What would the range that you were told within the healthy range?
So the range is usually anywhere from 40 to, I think it's 80% now. Every lab is a little bit different. But to be optimized, I like to see that number below 60. And it's pretty rare to see a number below 60. If you have, if you have like bloating, joint pain, brain fog, that's usually that bacterial marker is going to be outside of optimal range.
So why do you think they've sort of, so it sounds like they've widened the range. Why do you think that is?
So when you go to the hospital or the doctor and you get your blood taken, that blood range is based on the average population of whoever's going to get your blood. So if a 10-year-old girl or a 90-year-old man goes in to the same lab, it's all based on an average. And you usually only go to the doctor if you're not feeling good. So as time has went on, that average is getting wider and wider. And as our population is getting sicker, that range.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
actually, that's an indication that things are getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrible. I want to see the ranges from back in the 50s, please.
Right, exactly.
I'm going to go by that. I don't want today's range. I mean, that is really, it's just so fast. I mean, I quite often joke that, you know, I mean, I know a lot of things come out from science fiction. I always joke that what we need is like a scanner.
Yes. In Star
Trek to see like what's going on. But actually the next best thing is getting your blood work done. Something yes. so simple. And I don't know, I have to, because obviously over here things are a little bit, I don't know. I tend to stay away from the doctors.
Yeah.
although I am, I haven't been ill in 4 years. I knew this year was going to happen. I thought, oh, I can't get away with it this year. I'm sort of, I'm doing everything I can to go, but I can hear it on my chest. It's not so good, but I'm doing everything to, like, I'm refusing. I am good. Not accepting this. I'm not going to be ill. I'm having a little cough and then that's it. But I wonder, I don't even know in England if you could just go and ask for your blood work to be done and get it done. But there must be places that they must probably have to pay for it privately. I just wouldn't know.
I know. I'm not sure how it works over there. It's I'm in the United States.
Yeah, I don't know. We've got such a different system to you guys. But people must go and get, you know, you must go to the doctors. But I don't think they know what they're asking for. To get their blood work done, because you're waiting for a diagnosis and it's a doctor that tells you that we'll do a blood test for XYZ. But to ask for a more of a generic blood test to have a look, that would be quite nice, really.
I have a couple of clients that are in the UK and Europe. Yeah, I do have a couple of international clients and they've all come to me with blood work. So I don't know, like,
I'd quite like to know to get this blood work. So the simple, like, so say for instance, if people were concerned about parasites, what would you recommend? Is there something very specific they need to take, or is there something that's easy that they would have in their kitchen cupboards or something?
That's a good question. I like this company called Cellcor, and I've been able to get them across the pond. So there's a process that I like to go to make sure that before I go after the parasites, I have everyone's drainage pathways open. Sometimes if your drainage pathways, and that's kind of a fancy way of saying, are you pooping? Are you peeing? Can you sweat if you go to the gym? A lot of people can't sweat. So I work with them to make sure their drainage pathways are open so that when we take the parasite supplements, that the parasite leaves the body and isn't getting reabsorbed.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. I think it's probably time for a new one. Actually, there I am saying that I probably did one about, I don't know, probably 11 years ago actually. But yes, we did a colon cleanse first, liver cleanse, and then the parasite. Right? Yeah, it's like you've got to empty the bin first.
Exactly. Yeah, get everything moving.
Otherwise, you don't want backup, do you?
No. That will make you feel hate me. It'll totally defeat the purpose, and you'll just feel terrible.
So then the note from that, what I've just said there is, don't do it yourself.
Exactly.
You might get it wrong and do more damage. So. For the listeners out there, how do they find you? If they're interested, so they now know that, and if they are in the UK, they could always send you their blood work if we find out where we can get it done. how do they find you?
Yes, so I have a website, medellahealing.com. That's M as in mother, E, D as in dog, E-L-L-A, healing.com. Medella is the Latin word for healing. I'm also on Instagram and TikTok at Medella Healing. So you can send me a DM. I do all my appointments remotely. So we meet via Zoom. And also go get that free blood work guide on my website. So you can start comparing my notes to yours to just get you started. There's a lot of information out there, I know, as we said, but but at least you can have something tangible to start comparing.
And that's it. What you've just said there, it is a tangible thing. You know, yeah. You can listen to whoever, to their opinion on this, that, the other, but that's your blood and that's what it's telling you. Deal with it.
Exactly. It's so true.
It simplifies everything. It's not a personal opinion from whoever. It's your blood is saying this. It needs this. There you go.
Yeah, it's pretty black and white.
On board if you want. It's up to you. But that's what it's reading.
Exactly. No, it's so true because, you know, you could dig forever and it's like, okay, these are the optimal numbers. I have these symptoms. I'm looking at this. Okay, this gives me a little bit of an action plan. And then you can start going on the right path to get healing faster.
There you go. Or you need to find and dig out 1950s.
Yes, exactly.
and see, well, hang on a minute. Back then they were
exactly.
Healthy. In some things, I mean, I do find it interesting. And I do think, you know, we've only got to look at society as a whole. You know, you look at any beach in any part of the planet in the 70s. Very few obese people. Look now, we've all chatted. Look, I mean, I've still got. Yeah, I'm gonna have to be good after Christmas.
We're all a work in progress.
It's all a work in progress. But you know, the difference is that, you know, back then they did eat better. You didn't have all these treats around. We certainly growing up, we wouldn't. Open a packet of biscuits and complete the whole lot.
No.
You couldn't do it now. They go in the tin, you could have one.
Exactly.
Have another one. Okay, that's it. Now it's just, you know, and now it makes me laugh looking at the things now is, I don't know what you have over there. I'm sure you do, but, you know, these share bag. You think, don't do it because then that becomes a normal bag. Everything's just got bigger.
Yes.
It's like before a packet of Christmas little, now you get the big one and then you're demolishing that. It's everything's all the portion sizes seems to have gone up and up and up and up and up.
Mm-hmm.
And the sizes of the chocolate bars, you know, before that was the size of the chocolate bar. That was it.
Yeah.
You didn't have the option to go for a giant thing.
Exactly.
And so it's actually just the simple things. I mean, things have definitely got worse. It's so over here, I joke about, you know, it's lockdown that finished me off. But the worst company to start here, in my opinion, in London, is Deliveroo. They come and, but yeah, I presume it's probably an American company. But,
probably.
No, dangerous. No.
So dangerous.
Emotional eating. I'm depressed.
Yeah.
I can't be bothered to cook. So, what do you fancy to eat, Danielle? Should we order it? And you can order from any restaurant and have it shipped. I mean, it's just no. It should never have been allowed.
No, I never thought about that, but you're so right. I mean, that is like the worst case scenario of what we're doing to ourselves. We're not even walking to go get our meal.
You don't. I can remember being a teenager thinking, can't somebody deliver me to McDonald's? I mean, you've just given it to them. No, it's the worst thing that they could have done. The whole lockdown thing. And over here, I think they were giving him coupons. Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? We've been locked up. Our immune system is now down there. And you're offering... to go to buy McDonald's. Sorry, I shouldn't name. Shouldn't name company, sorry.
That fast food.
Fast food. Any fast food.
It's so true. Oh my gosh, I've never thought about that. But yeah, that's pretty much done us in, huh?
So I'm gonna pass the blame again. Let me pass the blame again. Their fault. They really shouldn't have allowed these companies to even open their doors because
yeah.
For the more controlled people, it's just once in a once in a while treat, but yeah, lockdown for me, it became a bit of a habit. It's terrible.
Oh, it's
terrible.
So hard. And then we're, you know, inside, like I always go back to like the sunshine. Like we are supposed to, just like the plants, you know, needed to grow, like we need to get sun and be able to be exposed to fresh air and sunshine. And we're so afraid of sun now. And it's like, there's another thing where you're just like, what?
Again,
like,
we've been taught that it's bad for you. No, it's not.
We need it.
Vitamin D, and it's funny, I come from the fitness industry originally, so 25 years teaching fitness, that was my life. Jumping around a studio,
so cool.
The music, I was in my element. And then I gave up in 2016, I was struggling, you know, I was just getting tired, and I thought, oh, it's my age, you know, I mean, now I'm 50, so, you know, all these youngsters in central London, I can't keep up. And I stopped. And then a couple of months later, actually, my boyfriend at the time did say to me, because I'm not one for going to the doctor's, like, are you sure it's just that? Maybe you should go to the doctor.
Yeah.
Oh, I did. And actually, yes, I did. I had my blood. So I had some blood tests done.
Yeah.
But they tested my hormone level and they tested. Because I thought, you know, maybe I'm perimenopausal.
Yeah.
They tested that, but also what it was a simple solution, and my vitamin D was on the floor. That
yes.
was it. You know, I'd lived in Portugal in the sunshine, mm-hmm. come back to London, no sunshine exists in London. And of course, I live in a gym or a fitness studio. So, you know, I had no experience. I'd gone from lots of sun for nothing. And I just never gave it a thought.
Yeah.
So a simple solution, I don't sit
so
in the deal. Right as rain.
Yes.
So I think the thing is, anybody out there who is you don't have to suffer in silence. There is always a way. And wouldn't it be interesting to actually find out what is going on? Not in everybody else's body, in your own body. And the only way to do that is to get your blood work done.
Yeah.
And get in with Lauren. There we go.
Yes,
love it.
Exactly.
Love it. There is a solution. So, I mean, what an addition are you? I mean, still can't get over your story. 16 years bedridden. And here you are, the picture of health. You look
Thank
amazing
you.
And you're doing amazing things. And that in itself, I think, is truly inspirational to many. So see, it works.
It does. There's hope. There is hope. I mean, whether it's a simple fix like vitamin D, you know, it could be that simple and you could feel amazing. Or, you know, it might be a little deeper.
And it goes to show how much we do accept. I had almost like accepted, oh, it must be my age.
Yeah.
Oh, that must be why I'm tired. I had just totally accepted it. Oh, maybe this is it then. This is how you feel when you get to whatever I was.
It's so easy to do. Yeah. I got a little more creaks and aches and pains. I'm just getting older. And it's like, no, it doesn't work that way.
No, we should be living a lot longer. There's no need. We kill ourselves. Basically,
I think we do.
I think we are killing ourselves slowly.
Yes, I agree.
And actually, there is no need. So,
no.
Well, I love this conversation because I love what you do because it is a sort of still a passion of mine. Although I am no longer in the health and fitness industry anymore, but it is still a personal passion of mine. So I do love what you do. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
We will be back again because now we are running a Coffee with Karen 3 times a week now. Oh my goodness, that must be crazy. It's because I've got so many interesting people to talk to. So thank you for your time and to the rest of the listeners. I will be back very soon. Bye for now.
Coffee with Karen podcast. A weekly chat show discussing everything from holistic health to current affairs from a mental, physical, and spiritual perspective. Get your weekly cup of positivity with a sprinkling of woo-woo.